Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, A Tale of Healing Energies, Spiritual Communication, Miracles, and a Guide to Your Inner Soul Awakening. Today I am delighted to welcome Janie Beauclair, author of The Clairvoyant Gourmet, who, like me, uses all five of our senses, sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell, to receive impressions or messages from spirit. Janie, however, connects most prominently through her sense of taste and smells, since for years she has given some type of food element in all her readings. Hello, Janie, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within today.
Hello, my dear. So happy to be on your show.
Janie, as our listeners have come to expect over the years, my guests and I share intimate and empowering stories of glimpses into a world beyond the physical, into the energy of universal laws, and a greater understanding of both our ego or physical life and soul life, so we may discover a life plan, remember who we are, and why we have chosen to have a physical incarnation, and also to improve our health, relationships, and find greater meaning and joy during our life journey. Today, Janie will share her development of spiritual gifts and finding her talents as a clairvoyant gourmet. She will describe her work and how she discovered her specialty, as all mediums share some common elements, but are each destined to practice in ways that serve the public in specific areas. We will talk about the chakras, how food can affect them, and ways to achieve greater health using certain foods. I always love, Janie, to ask my guests to think back to their childhood, maybe a person or a place or an event that was meaningful and may have been a sign to their life plan or destiny and the values and interests and work that are important to them now as adults. So think back for a minute.
Well, it's very easy for me to jump right into that thought because I revisit it quite often. And I think that that thought for me is something that helps to keep me grounded in what my mission in this lifetime is. I very clearly have memories when I was 3, 4, 5 years old, sitting in the grass in our yard with a bunch of the neighborhood kids around me. And I can clearly remember looking at each one and knowing what they were going to develop into when they got older. And I would counsel, basically, I would tell these kids what they were going to be or what they were capable of being at a really young age. And I knew as I was growing older, you know, in the first grade, second grade, third grade, that type of thing, that there was a connection that I had that was very different from that of my friends, because they would all come to me and ask me for guidance at that age bracket, you know, in that mentality of that age.
So, well, because you were a life coach even then. You were a child
right.
life coach because you had a mature soul, a well-developed
right.
sense of self, and your family life must have been good too, so you were comfortable
yes.
in your own being and in your own physicality. But that's very interesting. You also say you had a friend named Susie.
Who mm-hmm.
tell us about Susie.
Susie was my friend on the other side. She would come through quite clearly to me, and we'd have conversations as if she was my little friend sitting in front of me. And my mom used to comment saying, you could play for hours in the corner all by yourself talking to your imaginary friend. But for me, they weren't imaginary.
No,
they
of
were
course
real
not.
People who
you know,
were actually sharing their life with me.
You know,
and I would have a ball.
Well, you know, there are only 4% of intuitive mediums actually see spirit. Many,
oh, really? I didn't even know that.
Only 4%, yes. Yeah, so you are one of the 4%. And others are guided by the energy. So in meditation, they sense and feel and know. We're going to talk about the different clair abilities
Yeah,
in a
the
minute.
Claire's. Yeah.
Yeah, the Claire's. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But you were able at a very early age. Now, see, I, as an intuitive, sensitive child, saw things and felt the energy shifting around me very much. But I had a little doll, and his name was Jerry, and I used to sit in the corner and talk to Jerry, but Jerry was actually a spiritual teacher, a guide, and
Sure.
I would get the answers to my questions and just know what to do and how
I
to
wonder if Jerry and
proceed.
Susan were friends.
Yes, and I thought everybody acted, I thought everybody knew this. So when I was in school, and one day I raised my hand, but I never could wait to answer the question, and I just answered the question, and my teacher said to me, "But Cheryl, I haven't finished asking the question yet. So how are you answering it?" And I didn't understand why she was angry with me.
I
Because
totally get
yes,
that.
I know you do. I know you do. So we can concur that there are many children that have these sensitivities to energy, because everything is energy. We are energy in a body. Our soul is energy, and that's why there is an afterlife. There, after this physical life, our soul leaves the body, and this is not the whole picture. So there is much more to us than most people want to admit, or even if they have feelings about it, sometimes they're just too frightened to go on to. So tell us something about your mother. She sort of knew that you were a little different than the her other three children.
She did, and my mother was actually clairvoyant in her own way. And I also believe my grandmother was as well, because of things that I saw growing up. Where, example of my mom would say something like, "Janie, don't go to the movies tonight. You're going to get in a car accident." And I go to the movies and I get in a car accident.
So she
And
was intuitive. Yeah.
she was very intuitive. So I think growing up with a mom that recognized that ability in herself made it so much easier for my path, because she was not scared by having a child with these abilities. So she allowed me to have the flexibility to have the conversations I needed to have, and to be the person I needed to be, and explore those avenues, within myself, without her, making me feel like I was an oddball or weird in any
Well,
way.
in my family it was a little different. They were very methodical and scientific, and even if my mother had some inclination towards this, which she might have, because I later on found a first cousin who told me many years later that she had dreams and knew things and saw things and ahead of time. So it was in the family somehow. But my mother wanted no part of this, so she would have discredited anything and say, she wanted me to be like everyone else, for fear
Sure.
perhaps of being
Yeah.
different. So you were lucky that that was the way. And I just closed it down for a long, long time, and just
Right.
lived in the physical world till I had many metaphysical experiences later on, and
And a
had
lot
to
of people do that
acknowledge it.
just for their own protection,
Yes.
I've come across so many people who have done exactly that. And it's kind of like a self-preservance,
Yes, you do what you
thank you,
have to do
preservation.
at the time, because in the right time, everything happens the way it should. Now let's go on. You
Absolutely.
describe yourself as a 5C clairvoyant. Can you explain what that means? And do you think many psychics, or there are many words to describe this, psychics, clairvoyants, mediums, they're not exactly the same.
They're not. And I noticed that, I do readings for a lot of different intuitive people, that and most of us can't read ourselves very well, so it's
Yes.
easier if we go to someone else and get guidance for our own self.
Yes.
But I do a lot of readings for people who are intuitive and do readings for others. And I noticed that we all have something a little different. Not two people read the same or feel the same or get their information the same.
Right.
And I find that fascinating, because everyone seems to have their own ability to connect And it's however their brain is wired as to how they receive their messages and their feelings and their guidance, as to how they relay it back out to the public.
Well,
For
that
me,
might,
I have,
yeah,
go ahead.
Janie, that might also be because they had different childhood experiences or past life
Sure.
experiences, or they're meant to relate the messages for the people who will be directed to them by spirit in the way best suited for their people, and they're here for different purposes. We're going to get into that in a little bit, but let's go on to the five of clairvoyant meanings. You started with clairvoyant, so that is
Yeah, and
vision. Tell us a little bit about that.
clear vision is, for me, the first thing I see, and I always see things in certain places. Example, I will see photos to the left of me. So I look to the left and I see either a full photo of an experience a person may have had with their family. It could actually be a snapshot that was taken at a certain event. Or it can be a little mini film where I'll see a sequence of pictures flash, relatively quick, so it looks like a little mini feature of your life. And they'll show me those little things in order for me to be able to explain to you something to allow you to feel the connection and to know that you are connected to this person who you're speaking with through me. Because a lot of times people need to know something that there's no way the clairvoyant can know. And so I see these pretty little pictures and these little details by photograph or by snapshot. And so that's the clear vision side. It's seeing something without the physical use of my own eyes. It's seeing a
Absolutely.
photo in someone else's
When I
perspective.
meditate, I have my eyes closed and soft music playing. And for example, for reading the other day, I actually saw a person to the left of me in my inner vision, wearing a plaid shirt and suspenders, and he was kind of roundish, not thin. And when I described him to this person, she said that was her father, and she had a photograph in the car of him dressed that way. So I didn't see a photograph, but I actually saw him
Saw the
quite
vision.
vi vividly, very, yes, very vividly. It's not always that way. It's different for every reading that we do. Sometimes new symbols come in and new ways, and over time, it changes also our connections, or our way of understanding the reading changes a little bit. But I only give it as I receive it, because I was taught a long time ago, and I know you say this also in your book, that we cannot taint it with our own interpretation or our own experience. We have to be very clear to just say whatever it is that we see, feel, smell, touch, or hear. And that hasn't been hard for me over the years, because I'm a dutiful student, like I was a dutiful daughter, and it makes sense to me to do it that way, so it's kind of very easy. But let's go on to the other clairs. There's clairvoyance, the feeling or seeing or sensing in vision, but not physical vision, of a picture or a film that you
And
just
then we
said.
have
Go on, go on.
clairaudience. Clairaudience is all about hearing. And for me, I'll hear things like I'll hear a specific song play. I'll hear a song that a couple may have danced to on their wedding day 65 years ago. And I'll be able to hear it so clearly that I can sing it or repeat it or hum it to the person in front of me. Or I'll hear things like the wind blowing in a certain fashion, like you were sitting in this area and the wind was just softly blowing by. You could just hear the birds singing quietly. I'll hear those types of actions that might have taken place in a location that the person was in at one point to be able to really bring them back to that moment so they can really put themselves back there and go, oh, yeah, there was just a quiet breeze blowing and the
Mm-hmm.
birds were just singing quietly in the background, but it helps people to really fine-tune and pinpoint where they were at those times. And musically, definitely comes in a lot for me because I personally am a performer, a musician as well. And so the music side tends to come in pretty well for me. My antennas are pretty connected in that realm.
I love
But
music too, and I get songs, and it's beautiful. But you know what? When you were saying that, I could see how when you and I see a client, and they respond, their eyes, they just look off,
They light up.
and they're reliving it. They are reliving the moment because we have received it so purely and correctly. It's a wonderful feeling to know that you help somebody that perhaps they haven't had that memory in a long time, and it helps them light up and know that it's reality. It's a reality.
And brings a lot
There's,
of healing, a lot of
yes, there's no time or space. Everything is happening continuously. There's no past or future or present. It is all our energy can be in that place. And in that moment, when they relive it, they are in that place. It's so beautiful. Yes,
It
so
is,
thank you for
absolutely.
saying that. Yeah, that was wonderful.
Sure.
Now
And then
you deal a lot with your sense of smell. I get that too. But it is not my main sense. I get more a knowingness, a clairsentience, and a lot of feeling as an empath in my body. And I do healing work, Reiki energy healing, so I work a lot with that. But tell us something about the sense of smell, how it works for you.
Well, the sense of smell and the sense of taste really go hand in hand for me. And it has really brought me into this food realm in my readings, which people say, well, what do you mean you bring food into your readings? That's a little nutty.
No,
But the reality,
it's very unique. See, I
well,
don't do that. It is very, very unique. So
thank
tell us
you.
about it. Yeah.
Here's how it really came to me that it was important for me to bring that value in. I was noticing when I was doing readings, and this was, all the way into my teenage years, that whenever I would see this picture of whatever was happening, it was usually a family event of a celebration of some sort or a friend celebration of something. And it was usually revolving around a kitchen table or a picnic table outside or something where they were celebrating, and there was always food there. So there would be a cake on the table, or there'd be a bucket of chicken, or there'd be a fish fry, or something along those lines. And so for me, I would get two things. I see the picture, and then I get a smell of whatever that food might be. And then I also get the taste in my mouth, like, wow, your mom made these terrific pumpkin pies, or whatever it is. But it would always come to me in connection to bringing someone back to a really heartfelt place. And we revolve around food, obviously, because it's a life source for us. But food also brings us to a really strong memory in life. And most of our memories, birthdays, anniversaries, those types of things, most holidays that are celebrated have a food ceremony celebration along with it. So for me, the sense of smell and smelling these different food aromas and great grandma is cooking spaghetti on the stove, stirring the pot, and all the little kids are sitting at the table, buttering the bread, the garlic bread, or whatever. I would get the smell and the taste so that I could really explain this event that happened for this person and really bring them right back there. But what I notice when I do that is that a lot of times that will be the piece for me that allows them to calm themselves down, recognize that they're connecting to their family or friend, and be able to really absorb the rest of the lesson. Because usually in the beginning for me, what I go through is
Interesting.
the first few minutes of getting people to settle in and believe that they're communicating so that they can then get the lesson. And
Absolutely.
for
Yeah.
the food and the smell is that for me, the first entry to that point. It's what opens the door to get them to remember a specific memory and be there and comfortable in knowing so that whatever comes next, they can actually hear and
Yes.
listen to.
They're open. They're open to it.
Yeah.
Now, all mediums, as we were talking about before, have specific specialties. So I consider myself to be a soul healer because I do the Reiki energy work and my readings go with that. So I can help people discover and know the truth of what's happening by remembering. And they can remember their energetic being and their own connection to spirit because I'm empathic and very clairsentient. So I can feel the emotions and pain for them and other people around them. So I can help them make decisions about their health or work
Very important.
relationships, right? So they, when I say to them, I have a pain on my right side by the gallbladder, and they say to me that last, a couple of weeks ago, they had gallbladder surgery. So they already know that we're dealing with energy. We're dealing
Right.
with more than the physical world, and it is a way to make a strong connection. And of course, there are mediums who work with animals, bereavement, helping police enforcement and solving crime, soul rescuers. I've spoken to all these different types of mediums who help others move past death to the highest state of consciousness, leaving the earth plane. And of course, I did 8 years of hospice work because I was no longer afraid of the death and dying process because
Sure.
I knew it was just a transcendent way of moving and being alive in another state. So
Right.
all we're led and guided to what we're strongest in and what we enjoy, actually what we're good at. And I think I remember reading that as a child. Didn't you go with someone to the weekly food fests or fairs where they
Yeah, I used to go to the farmers market.
Right,
Yeah.
and you
Yep, I
enjoyed
used to
that.
go with a neighbor and I loved so much. I got so much energy from the animals and the food that they would sell because it was a like a farm-based farmers market. So they would sell little chicks and little baby piggies and bunnies and all of that stuff for people who grew animals and crops on the farm. But yeah, I was totally drawn to that. I couldn't wait to go to that thing every weekend.
So you see how early it starts,
Yeah.
and the door is open for us to follow that path if we choose. If we choose, there are
Absolutely.
many opportunities open to us. So when you first started having experiences of connecting with spirit, were all your senses attuned, or have you sharpened some of the others along the way?
Well, I think that I always feel like the door was opened, but I only looked at so many scenes.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember having the smells of a few different things when I was young. I have memories of certain events of smells that I had. Like, I smelled this and I smelled that at young points in my life, but I wasn't really working with that until I got later into my years. When I got into my early 20s is where I really feel like I was so aware of all the different senses that were activated, and that I could participate with all these different senses, not just a few. So I think it came along with a maturity level, and a fearlessness, no longer fearing what people would think or say or how they would receive me. And, you know, I think that all came through maturity. And once I reached that point and I was quite comfortable with saying whatever I needed to say and letting people know that I was a clairvoyant and all that type of thing, I think that's when really the fine tuning came in and the awareness of just exactly how much I could connect.
But let's go
Yeah.
on to, did Spirit ever give you the recipe for special dishes, recipes that may have been forgotten, and how specific do they get? Do they give you exact measurements? Tell us something about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the clairvoyant gourmet is something that people started calling me because I like to cook and I've been involved in food my whole life. My mom had my sister and I cooking when we were, you know, 4 and 5 years old in the kitchen.
They gave you
So
a
food is
great
always,
gift. Actually, that's giving
oh
a
my
child a
gosh,
great gift. Yeah.
priceless, priceless. So food's always been in my world, and of course, the farmers markets and all that from an early age with the neighbor and all of that. But when I started doing recognizing the readings in the food value of these parties and things like that, I was starting to get really strong taste. And I would say things like this one young lady specifically, I said, when your mom was pregnant with you, she was a young lady who her mom died when she gave birth. She died at childbirth. And so the mom came to talk to her and explained her whole pregnancy, how much she loved carrying the daughter and that she knew she wasn't going to be there to raise her. And, specifics, which was just beautiful moments for this young lady. But throughout, the mom says, I was obsessed with lemons. I was drinking lemonade. I was eating whole lemons. I was in love with these lemon squares. I used to make them all the time. And the daughter, who was now 70 when she was connecting to her mom, said to me, oh my God, I'm a baker and I make lemon squares as my primary item in my bakery every week. How did my
How
mom used to
beautiful.
make them? Yeah, it was amazing. So we got to, I asked her, can you give your daughter the recipe of how you used to make your lemon squares? And she did. She literally spelled out, she would show me, I would see on the counter a clear measuring cup, and I can see the liquid is half full or a quarter full or three quarters full. And it's the same type thing as how this is how they give it to me. I'll see a spoon half full or a quarter full. I'll see a handful of salt or a pinch of this or that. So however they actually used to make it, they show me the little video of them making it so I can rattle off what it is that I'm seeing.
You
They're
know,
using a whole onion. They're using a half of a pound of meat, that type of thing.
well, I think that's a very special gift. And I have a little funny story here. My daughter, who is an agent, who vice president of a literary management agency, gets a lot of cookbooks published. And as a child, she was such a poor eater. I was always working so hard to have her just ingest some food, and now she loves food, and she loves to cook, and she's teaching our daughters to cook, and she's very interested in the smells, just like you. She's more like you than me because that is not my specialty. But I think spirit whispers to us, all of us. They're our loved ones, and they're helping us in so many ways to inspire us to develop and use our talents. And sometimes you'll have a thought, and you'll think it's your own thought, but actually it might be from a father or a mother. The woman with the lemon interest in lemon cakes may have been downloading that inspiration from our mother, and was so thrilled to find and get a new recipe from her also. So I think we just have to know there's so much miraculous wonderment about life and spirit and the joy that we can have through knowing that we're more than a physical being and a soul having a spiritual life. So this show today has helped people know that. And I want to thank you, Janie Beauclair, author of The Clairvoyant Gourmet, for sharing the way that you use your spiritual gifts to help people remember loved ones and the joy they shared in times of celebration and family gatherings, enjoying food and love as they journey through their physical life in search of a high awareness of their soul potential, and also for the great stories told in your book of the five Clair abilities to retrieve information from, of course, this unified field of higher consciousness that help clients through the loss of loved ones to know that they are safe beyond this life. For more information, go to clairvoyantgourmet.com. To purchase this unique and enlightening book of poems and drawings expressing finer imaginings of soul life for a clearer truth of our multidimensional gifts, go to amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Janie and I have shared a comprehensive study of the way mediums, clairvoyants use the intuitive awareness of soul past the five senses in various ways in order to serve humanity, to raise their level of consciousness, and remember once again the truth of life as both a physical and spiritual endeavor, and also that life is continuous, fluid, and transcendent. There is no death, only renewal, regrowth, and moving past the restrictions of old ways and beliefs to find the oneness and unity here and beyond. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear authors, change makers, visionaries, mediums, energy workers, scientists, psychologists, educators, and members of the arts discuss and share the miracle of life and ways to improve the human condition. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you for listening.